asking that he not take his disciples out of the world, but that he would keep them from the evil one. And in the Romans 12 passage, Paul encourages us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Paul has really talked about some of the great doctrines and the blessings of the Christian life. And then he begins chapter 12 with saying, now here is some of the behaviors that we need to exhibit. And that first therefore is therefore, he appeals to us on the basis of God's mercy to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, not to be conformed, but to be transformed. J.B. Phillips suggested that we not allow the world to squeeze us into its mold. Culture's story is defined by the pattern of this world, while the Christian story is defined by the mercies of God. So we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice and not to be conformed, but to be transformed. And that is a continuing challenge for all of us as God's people. Still another mark, I think, of a strong church is that we need to fill it with zeal and devotion. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, Jesus is speaking to the church at Laodicea. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. Nehemiah 2 verse 18, I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. Then they said, let us arise and build. So they put their hands to the good work. The church at Laodicea had lost its zeal and devotion. They had become lukewarm. And Jesus told the church that those whom he loves, he reproves and disciplines. And he called upon them to renew their zeal for his cause. And I think all of us remember that Nehemiah sparked a revival among the people. And with zeal, with devotion, the people responded, let us arise and build. And they put their hands to the good work. A strong church is one whose members exhibit a genuine zeal and devotion for the cause of the Lord and for his mission. Then number six, a strong church, we need to keep its worship spiritual and scriptural. A part of Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman is recorded in John chapter 4. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 15, what is the outcome then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the mind also. That's always been a challenging passage for me, because as I sing those songs, am I singing them with the spirit really from the depths of my heart? Am I singing with my mind also, understanding what is being said in those songs? And that's what Paul was encouraging the Corinthians to do. In the John 4 passage, we see that God desires worship from his people. And of course, it does make a difference whether or not we follow God's directions in worship. Worship is to be done the way God directs. And we must worship, as Jesus said, in spirit and truth. And then again, Paul reminds us that when we sing and pray, both the heart and the mind are engaged. We sing and we pray from the depths of our hearts, and we do so with understanding. And then if we're going to have a strong church, I think we must endeavor to keep all members involved. Nehemiah 4, verse 6, so we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. And Paul concludes the great resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. The reason they were able to rebuild the walls in Jerusalem is stated clearly in the passage that I just read from Nehemiah. The people had a mind to work. They were personally involved. And Paul encourages us to abound in the work of the Lord. So I want to encourage every member here at this congregation to be involved in some way in our work. And I want you to know that what you do can make a difference. There is power in one. And so find those areas in which you can be involved. But remember, you can make a difference. One of the stories from early church history has touched me. His name was Telemachus. He was a 4th century, what they called a desert hermit. But he had made his way into the city of Rome. Went to the Colosseum, and they were engaged in the gladiator fights. And Telemachus was just amazed that that was going on. And he actually walked into the arena and stood between the two gladiators. And he wanted them to stop. Well, of course, you can imagine the crowds were going crazy. Jeering, get that man out of there. But he stood his ground. And finally, one of the gladiators thrust his sword into Telemachus and killed him. But some versions of the story suggest that from that time forward, the gladiator games ended. One man made a difference by his courage to step out into that arena and to give his life. He got involved. That was a dangerous involvement. And sometimes I know we have to exercise discernment and wisdom. But I just want to remind everyone in here that you can make a difference. Your involvement can mean something. And I believe if we're going to be a strong church, it is just imperative that we try to involve everyone in some way, in some ministry. And that is really going to make a difference in our community. Some marks of a strong church. Fill it with the knowledge of God's word. Make it strong in faith. Saturate it with fervent love. Keep it unstained by the world. Fill it with zeal and devotion. Keep its worship scriptural and spiritual. And endeavor to keep all members involved. We're going to sing our song of encouragement, and if there's anyone here tonight who is ready to step out in faith, we talked about that faith element here a few moments ago, but if you need to step out in faith tonight and say, I am ready to become a child of God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, I'm willing to repent of my sins, I will confess Him before this group of people, and I will be buried with Him in baptism, and I'll be raised up to begin walking that new life. So if anyone needs to make that decision, I hope you'll come. If you desire the prayers of the congregation, we're here to pray with you, to pray for you. So if there's any way that we can help you, encourage you, serve you tonight, would you let us know as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His graces? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Remain standing, please. Turn to number 382. We'll sing this first verse of this song if you'd like to partake of the Lord's Supper this evening, if you'd make your way to the front. Number 382.